Mark Doctor, who usually helps with communion and with the scripture, is sick today, so I will pinch hit. Hope that's okay. Our first reading comes from the Acts of the Apostles, Acts 11, verses 1 through 18. You can find it in your pew Bible, and I recommend you do that. Pull it off the shelf in front of you. And it's in the New Testament on page 122, the Acts of the Apostles, verses 1 through 18 of 11. Hear these words. Now the apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why did you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Then Peter began to explain to them step by step, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa, praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. As I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I replied, 'By no means, Lord. For nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time the voice answered from heaven, 'What God has made clean, you must not call profane.' This happened three times. Then everything was pulled up again to heaven. At that very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of God, the word of the Lord, how he had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God?" When they heard this, they were silenced, and they praised God, saying, "Then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And then turn with me, if you will, to Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 6. Same half of the Bible, the New Testament, a little bit further on page 244. As you'll recall, we've been dancing through Revelation these past few weeks. This is the image, the vision, if you will, that John had of what it would be like at the very end of time. And at this point, all of the incredible battles with Satan are over. Everything is finished. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of the heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away.' The one who is seated on the throne said, 'See, I am making all things new.' And he said, 'Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true.' Then he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life.'" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our gospel lesson today comes from the gospel of Jesus Christ chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. Just a bit of context, because it launches right in. We are again in the upper room at the occasion of the Last Supper. And just before this passage that I'll read, Judas has made clear that he will leave to do what he has to do to betray the Savior. And Jesus has acknowledged that between their eyes. So that's who they're referring to about the one who leaves. If you'd like to follow along, it's on page 102 in the Pew Bible in the New Testament. So hear this story. When Judas had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, sometimes it is the most simple things that are the most foundational and the most profound. Now, to give you an example, I want you to think about what happens if you take one kid, one body of water, and an ample supply of rocks. Many of you know exactly what happens. If you give it just a little bit of time, invariably that kid will be satisfied for hours taking those rocks and putting it into that water. And generally what happens is those kids will do one of two things. They will either be plinking or they will be skipping. So let's think about this in turn. If you take a kid, usually a little kid, they go to the rocks and stand at the edge of that placid body of water and they plink that rock into the water and they watch as it hits the surface of the water and it reverberates out in circles that go out from the point of contact. Now, it's not too long, and I know that this is connected to the Y chromosome. It's not too long before the rocks get bigger and bigger, because when you plink in a bigger rock, it goes kaboom! And the circles that emanate out from that splash are big, and the waves are big, and it continues to go on. Well, if you let that kid grow up a little bit, pretty soon what they do is graduate to skipping. And you know how this works. You find a rock that's kind of flat-shaped, and you fit it into your hand just so, and you lean over, and you wing its sidearm across the surface of the water. Right? You know how that works? Well, it's endless hours of fascination of rocks, plinking and skipping. And I believe that that simple metaphor of plinking and skipping rocks is exactly what God would have us understand about these scripture passages, and specifically about this passage from John. How many of you recognize that passage because you've heard it relatively recently? A few of you? The reason it sounds familiar is because we read that, as we do every year, on Maundy Thursday during Holy Week. That passage is right after the foot washing, if you will, on Maundy Thursday. And this is something that a lot of folks don't understand. They think that the Maundy refers to the foot washing. Well, not exactly. If you think about our modern words, there's a word that's not so far from Maundy, because it comes from the same Latin root of the word mandate.
Maundy Thursday is actually about the new commandment that Jesus offered to his apostles and to us. It is that mandate that he offered. When he said, I give you a new commandment that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Now, come on. Who is Jesus trying to kid? He had been telling this message all the time he was on earth, all the time, the 3 years that he was with his apostles. And if you go back into the Hebrew Bible, that is the message that the Torah had for the Jewish people as well. To love God and to love each other. But Jesus was raising the stakes, and this was a brand new commandment. The very next day, Jesus would allow himself to be persecuted, to be hung on a cross, and to die. He made the choice to die for his friends, and this was a brand new commandment. After the resurrection, the world was a new place, and it took on a different meaning. Just as I have loved you. I want you to think about standing on the edge of that water and plinking that rock into the placid surface. Even before we are aware, God loves each one of us more than we can ever fathom. God's love hits the surface. And if we will allow it, it reverberates out in waves from us to all those around us. There's nothing that stops those waves. They can flood over everything in their path. And just as Peter figured out, that love of God is available through us to all people. To all people. Now, I don't care about your prejudice. I don't care about your bias. God is calling each one of us to love all people. Black or brown or white or yellow, Afghani, Iranian, African, Georgian, New York, Coloradoan, gay or straight, Republican, Democrat, Independent, it makes no difference. God asks us to love each other just as I have loved you. When you think about skipping a rock, there is that endless quest to find the perfect rock, to find the one that fits into your hand, and you will spend hours flicking it across the surface of the water, counting how many times it skips before it sinks below the surface. God loves you more than you can imagine, and God calls you to be more than you are right now. And God asks that just as the same way that you keep trying to find the perfect rock, that every day is a new opportunity for you to try again and again to love each other just as Jesus has loved us. I give you a new commandment. That you love each other. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. My brothers and sisters, it is that simple and profound and difficult. But with God's help, it can be so. Let us pray that it is. Amen.